We'll be joined by Rob Cassidy at 525, formerly of GoPowerCat.com, now works for Rivals on a national basis. We will talk about his article referencing the perception problem the Big 12 has in recruiting right now. Before we get into all the K-State news and notes of the day, because there were a lot, why you got to put me on blast and actually tag Eric Skoglund in a tweet here? So I spelled his name wrong on the outline, okay? I am a radio guy. I'm not a print guy, so I don't really do the spelling correctly thing. As long as I can pronounce it correctly, that is what's important. So, like, a lot of times I'll even spell it out phonetically just so I know how to say it. This is, I don't know, looking at it that way helps me say it more than how it's actually spelled. I just put an extra U in.
Skoglund. That's how I read it. Skoglund.
Skoglund.
S-K-O-U-G-L-A-N-D.
Okay, actually, I spelled this completely wrong. So, it was worse than I thought. It was worse than I thought. That's my fault.
The real spelling is S-K-O-G-L-U-N-D.
Could you use it in a sentence, please?
Eric it is that time of year.
Yeah. Eric Skoglund was really good last night. There you go.
Could you give me a language of origin?
Covfefe.
Close.
Language of origin, please.
I have no idea. I can look it up real fast.
Okay. Well, no, that's not necessary. We're back here on the game. Again, if you want to communicate with us, the game KMAN on Twitter. If you want to see my misspelling of Eric Skoglund's name, you can check out Mitch the Fort on Twitter. In addition to this Corey Sutton stuff that's been going on with his tweets, wanting a release and apparently not getting it right now after he decided to transfer, there have been a lot of other things that happened in the last 24 hours. One being, and I think this is one that is the most important in terms of the future of the programs here. Wayne Jones, a three-star safety, has committed to K-State. So big get, second member of the 2018 football recruiting class. Three-star safety wouldn't necessarily do all that much for you just saying that, but when you see his offer list, this becomes more impressive. He had offers from a number of schools, including Oklahoma State, Michigan State, and Louisville. So it's not often, to be completely honest, that K-State is out recruiting schools like that. He had a very nice offer list per Rivals.com. So this seems like a good get for K-State. They've been able to sprinkle in a handful of kids like this per class, seemingly, with better offer lists, and then the rest are further on down the line. But they have, to their credit, been able to do this perhaps more often than we give them credit for.
Yeah, I mean, within the last 4 or 5 years, or you look 4 or 5 years ago, recruits like this would have been pretty rare and pretty close to the top of what K-State was actually getting, and now it seems like it's becoming more normal for them to get players that are at this capacity. So it's a good get for sure, and obviously, we are a long way away from National Signing Day. It's very early in the process, and it's not unheard of for more offers to come in and for recruits to have a hard time staying committed to the first school. But it's a nice shot in the arm for K-State's 2018 class because they have been off to a slow start with only two commitments now for the class.
Which is typical. I mean, that's always typical. K-State is usually behind in terms of numbers, specifically when it comes to the recruiting classes. Now, we also got game times for the non-conference portion of the Wildcats schedule for next year. The Central Arkansas game on September 2nd will kick off at 6:10 on K-State HDTV, so nothing too new there. That's typically what's happened for the first home game. September 9th, Charlotte, that game will kick off at 11 a.m. and be televised on FSN. And then September 16th, most high-profile matchup of the non-conference season at Vanderbilt. That'll kick off at 6:10 on ESPNU. So really here, this is about what you would expect. It follows a fairly similar pattern here. If you have the game that's out of the ordinary, a la Stanford last year, night kickoff, Vandy on the road, night kickoff, the first home game, 6:10 on K-State HDTV. And it does always seem like we get one of those beloved 11 a.m. kickoffs in there as well.
Beloved, that's not the word I would go for. Not my favorite.
Well, that
not
was my favorite. That's why that was sarcasm. Yeah.
But you like them.
Well,
right?
It just makes my work day. I mean, I can actually have part of a Saturday then because I'm usually done working by about 6 o'clock. everything else, move it back by 2 or 3 hours per kickoff slot. I mean, ideally, I'm a sucker for the old 2:30 kickoffs. It's almost more nostalgia than anything else. It does allow you to get a combination of having still some time at the end of the night and sleeping in, not having to get up at the crack of dawn necessarily. So from that standpoint, I like it as well. But it's more because, you know, it used to be like Keith Jackson, ABC, the 2:30 time slot back in the late 90s when all was right with the world. So there is that part of me that still yearns for that. But, hey, I'll make do with whatever. As the years have gone on, I've become more okay with just whatever the kickoff time is. I can be more flexible with it. Speaking of scheduling, we don't have the full non-conference schedule released for K-State basketball. I would imagine we're probably going to get that in the next 24 hours, but we do know now that the K-State series with Tulsa is finalized, the basketball series. Next year it'll be, well, this season, it'll be December 9th in Wichita. Next season it will be in Tulsa, 2018. 2019, Tulsa will make a return trip to Manhattan.
It's a good system, just the wrong school for it. Should be Wichita State.
Well, obviously, I think we all are pretty much in agreement here that we would love it to be Wichita State. Mitch even teased you with it there in the game sports update. Just for point of reference, Tulsa is coached by Frank Haith, so there is somewhat of a connection there, the old Missouri coach. They went 15-17 last year, 8-10 in the American. A couple years ago, they were right on the NCAA tournament bubble. They do return their top three scorers, seven guys that were in the rotation from last year, so they'll be a fairly experienced team, maybe a team capable of making the NCAA tournament. But they fit in about where most of the squads that K-State is playing in the non-con schedule that we know of are going to be. I would think similar to a Georgia type of school. It's going to be, the perception I get just from everything, it'll be a very, very similar non-conference schedule to what you had last year. So take what K-State did and had last year in the non-conference schedule, translate that with just some different names to 2017, 2018. That's the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah, you just hope for two things. Number one, that K-State wins the game, and number two, that Tulsa can be in the top 100 of the RPI at the end of the year. That's probably a realistic way of looking at it. You hope that they can be in that, you know, 60, 70, 80 category, that it will give you a little bit of extra meat on that bone in terms of the non-conference schedule, because as we know, and we'll talk about it more when the full schedule is released, once again this year, there are not a lot of marquee wins available out there for K-State in the non-con.
Finally, and this news actually came out yesterday, but just now getting to it, Elijah Lee did sign his deal with the Minnesota Vikings. They've now signed all their rookies except for second-round pick Dalvin Cook, but Lee's deal is 4 years, $2.48 million, a signing bonus of $83,000. So the deal here is that NFL contracts are not guaranteed. He's going to have to make the team to start getting part of the four-year $2.48 million that you see right there. Football much different than baseball, where they do have guaranteed contracts. He is guaranteed that $83,000. The $83,000 will be his. And if he is going to be on the practice squad players get paid, at least in 2016, they got paid $6,900 per week. So if he stayed on the practice squad for the entire year, how about this math? $117,300. So he'd be looking at anywhere between that and then the full money from the $2.48 million of the contract. I will just direct you back to what I said at the time when he got drafted in the seventh round. If he makes the team and he stays on the team and lives out most of that four-year $2.48 million contract, makes close to seven figures, I think he would look back on it and say, trying to help my family, this thing worked out okay. The opportunity definitely still exists there for Elijah Lee. He will still have to go out and make the team, but we heard from the Vikings beat writer that we had on last week, they all think it's very, very likely that he is going to make the team.
Yeah, he definitely seems to have a leg up on most other seventh rounders in terms of that department making the team. And so that's a positive thing. Seems like good money to me. I'm not in that business. None of us make that money, but I think that I would probably sign for that if that was offered to me.
Well, in worst case scenario, if you're talking about with his family, I mean, the full $83,000 would not necessarily be his. He does have an agent. The agent's going to get a cut, but you know, there's a good chunk of money you could send back to the family if they are really struggling immediately. So you could have that and then go from there. We roll on here on the game in hour two. We'll talk with Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com, formerly at GoPowerCat.com. We will go inside the fort at 4:50, test Mitch's wrestling knowledge. But when we come back, a new contender for the most summer college football article that I think I've seen. You're listening to The Game.